In the first reading today, we hear St. Paul talking about Abraham. Now, Abraham did not doubt God's promise. We look at what happened with Abraham's life as he went along. We could say, but didn't he doubt? Didn't he take matters into his own hands and so on? At one point he did. But the point when it was credited to him as righteousness, that was at the very beginning. And even when he took things into his own hands, he didn't doubt what God was saying. He just didn't see how it was going to happen. And so he was trusting still in everything that God said. And that's the question then that comes down to each one of us, because St. Paul said, well, this was not just written for Abraham alone, that it was credited to him as righteousness, but also to everyone who will believe in the Lord who raised Jesus from the dead. And so it's not just a matter that do I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, but do I believe in the promises that God has made? And we look at the gospel reading, and our Lord tells us that, you know, if someone stores up treasure for himself, it's not going to go so well. We're supposed to be storing up treasure in heaven. Is that what we're about? On one hand, again, we look at it and you just think about the practicality of this whole thing. We believe in God's promise of eternal life. We believe that God is going to take our immortal soul and bring it to heaven. And that one day, old brother donkey here is going to rise from the dead and is going to be reunited with our soul, and we're going to live forever in heaven. And then we don't believe that God's going to take care of us on the practical day-to-day things? If that's the case, we really have to ask ourselves, do I really truly believe in the promise of eternal life? Again, not that we don't believe it in a generic way, but I mean subjectively. Do I really honestly believe that? Wholeheartedly believe that? If God were to look at me right now and say, look, here's what I have promised you, can I credit this to you as righteousness because you believe without doubt? You have absolute confidence in what it is that I have promised to you. Or are we kind of hedging our bets? Well, just in case it's real, I hope that it is. No, that's a bunch of nonsense. Either God is real and he has made promises, or he's not. There's no in between. And that's the part we need to be clear about. So either he is faithful or he's not. Jesus is the one who said, if someone's not faithful in the small things, neither will he be in the big things. So think about it. We're going to say, well, I believe in the biggest thing, but I don't believe in the small ones. Like, really? So I trust that God is going to be faithful in the biggest thing of all, which is to somehow or another forgive my sins and get me to heaven, but I really don't believe in his promise that he's going to take care of me. If he's not faithful in the small things, he's not going to be faithful in the big ones. Now, if you look at it that way, and you're not sure, and you're thinking, well, I think that I believe. Ask yourself what would happen if you found out today that you're going to die. Today. Is that a joyful thing? Or is that a scary thing? If it's scary, it's because we don't believe. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, let's just be stupid and, you know, if we're in the state of mortal sin, get to confession now. Don't be putting it off and saying, well, you know, if the day comes, I guess I'll get there eventually. No, 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 no. Keep yourself in the state of grace. So assuming that you're in the state of grace, if you truly believe in God's promise, why would you be afraid? We're afraid if we don't fully believe in God's promise. It's not that we don't believe entirely, but we don't believe entirely either. That's what we want to look at then within our own selves. We want to work on that faith. Because, as St. Paul said, Abraham was convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to do. And he did not doubt. God has made very specific promises to you. We can look at what happened with Abraham, and it's quite extraordinary, as we all know. God speaking to him and calling him out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans and sending him wherever it was that he was going to go, and he didn't even have a clue where he was headed. Yeah, what Abraham was being asked to do was really extraordinary. And he acted in faith. And maybe God hasn't done something quite so extraordinary for you to call you. But that doesn't mean the call is any less important. God has called you, just as he did Abraham. St. Paul makes clear that those who share the faith of Abraham are the ones who are the children of God. That's you. And so he has called you, just as he's called Abraham. And he has made promises to you, just as he has made promises to Abraham. And it will be credited to you as righteousness if you believe him without doubt. That's where the trouble is, the without doubt part. Because again, on one hand, you could look at me and say, look, it's a Monday morning. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe. True enough. So how about the doubt part? That's where the point comes. If I was going to die today, would that be a joyful thought or would that be a scary one? Granted, you're going to have to stand before the Lord for judgment. But if you know that your sins are forgiven, and you therefore can trust solely in the mercy of God, then you're not going to be afraid. If we're afraid, it's because the faith isn't complete, because we're doubting. And so we need to look at that point. As our Lord said to someone in the gospel, doubt no longer, but believe. That's what he's asking of us. We're going to look at Abraham as our father in faith. Then St. Paul tells us that's based on the faith of Abraham. Clearly, most of us are not descended from Abraham physically. And so spiritually we are. And that means that we have inherited the faith of Abraham. So now we need to act on that. God has made promises. And not only is God able to do what he has promised, God will do what he has promised. So there's no issue on God's side. That's now where you and I have to look at it. Just like with Abraham, when he didn't understand how God was going to do things and tried therefore to say, oh, maybe it'll happen this way or that, God had to make him suffer some more. So too with us. How does the faith grow? Well, being put in situations where we have to practice it. So the struggles and the difficulties that we go through in our lives, that's part of how God's going to work with us. When we falter and we fall and we doubt and we question and we're all going through all this, That's God letting us see that, yes, you have faith, but it's not complete. It's not perfect. It's not without doubt yet. So let's keep working at this. And so he keeps putting us through different things until finally we can get to that point where we will no longer doubt. That's where Abraham was. He was 100 years old and his wife was 90. And God said, do you believe that you're going to have a child with your 90-year-old wife? And he had to say yes without a doubt. Sarah didn't believe that. She laughed. Abraham had to trust. He had to have faith. It seemed impossible. But that's where it's the point of not only is God able to do it, God will do it. Ask yourself, how are you going to get from here to heaven? By yourself, it is impossible. But all things are possible for God. So don't doubt no longer. Believe. Have that absolute faith like Abraham did. And when we have that faith, then it will be credited to us as righteousness.